Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William Elmo. Hey, what's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, how's it going out there?
Hey, not much, man. You know, just big games in sports. You know what we do on this show? We talk sports, entertainment, everything else. We're gonna talk Rangers as they face possible elimination tonight against the Washington Senators. We're also going to talk about the local stuff in baseball with the Mets and Yankees. We're also going to talk about, the NBA playoffs. And, as usual, we're going to talk a little sports entertainment and also give you a little bit of update regarding a possible Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. And, of course, folks, you guys know the deal. You guys all know the number. And, of course, you know that number is 917-388-4189. Let me rewind that. 917-388-4189. So feel free to give us a call and share your thoughts. And with that, let's talk Rangers, man. Rangers are in it. The Power Rangers, man. They're gonna need to be in morphin time, man. You know, they're down 3-2 in the series. You know, they won a must win game off on Friday to stay alive. They were down. They were 3-1 up until before entering Friday night, and you know, they got the victory, the much needed victory. Basically, same scenario. You know, Rangers have been in this situation down 3-1 and come back. Rangers are going to try to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were playing the Power Rangers theme song or something.
Oh, no. It's just a TV.
But any case, you know, Rangers, you know, basically, you know, they're taking it one game at a time. They won Friday night. They're going to try to win tonight, even up this series. And if they do even up this series, man, Rangers are going to advance. I just feel it. You know, history is on their side. You know, when they're at home at the Garden, you know, game seven, I think Lundqvist only lost one time in his career at the Garden in that scenario. So, I mean, Rangers, you know, they have history on their side. But the bottom line is, will they win tonight? That's the thing. You know, yeah. Lundqvist is going to give you everything he got. And, you know, the Capitals are going to do everything they got to try to end this series and prevent a possible Game 7. So, I mean, history is going to happen tonight. Will Rangers force a possible Game 7, or will Capitals advance?
Yeah, I mean, Rangers are a good road team, so they got that going for them. Mm. And so, yeah, I mean, they got to win this game tonight. It's do or die, or else they go home.
Yep.
I mean, last year they did against the Penguins. They were down 3-1. They came back to win that series. So
exactly.
They could probably do it again, you know, starting tonight. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, let's hope so, you know. We'll definitely see if, you know, they could come back 3-1 again.
Yeah.
You know, two consecutive years. We'll definitely see, you know, we'll definitely see later tonight. And by next week, we'll definitely tell you, you know, what happened. Did Rangers advance and go home and start game one? Or did they literally go home and, you know, pack up their bags and focus on next year?
Yeah.
Those answers and more will be revealed on next week's episode. But with that said, good luck, Rangers. Hopefully they can get this win and force a game seven and, you know, advance and take themselves one step closer to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Should be a good game tonight.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely keep my eyes glued on that for sure.
Yeah.
And switching gear. Let's talk NBA. There was just a epic game that just ended right now. Cavaliers versus the Bulls. I mean, you got the two powerhouse. You got LeBron James, you know, Kyrie Irving versus Derrick Rose. And, I mean, the list goes on with that, you know, tough, you know, Bulls team. And they almost LeBron James just knocked down a impressive game-winning three-pointer, even though, like I was telling you off the air, all he needed was just a bucket, and they would have won because the game was tied.
Yep.
And late in the game, you know, LeBron James had an offensive foul when they were up 84-82 at that point. And LeBron James, you know, he has the Michael Jordan rules. He hardly gets called for fouls, but you know, the referee saw, you know, that he offensive foul, and that led to the Bulls tying the game in the last couple of seconds. And what happened, LeBron James, after a timeout, he nailed the three to win the game. And I think this game is going to be another game that's going to be talked about, you know, about LeBron James.
Yeah, good. I mean, thoughts. Even though he's been turning the ball over, last two games he's had a combined, I think, 14 or 15 turnovers. So he's turning the ball over, but it didn't seem to hurt him, the Cavaliers, in this game. Got that game winner to lead them. Yeah, almost they almost lost, but you know he overcame all those turnovers by getting that game winner in the end. And you know right now the series is tied and they're going back to Cleveland, and you got like the Cavaliers' chances of winning the series now.
No doubt, no doubt. And speaking of another series, you know, of course, we all know Jordan played for the Bulls, and LeBron idolized Jordan during the, you know, the 90s, as mostly everybody did, except for Knicks fans, you know, out there. But everybody, you know, jumped on the Jordan bandwagon, and LeBron was no exception. But he might be, you know, if LeBron and the Cavaliers advance, they might be facing another Jordan, former Jordan team, and that would be the Wizards. And Wizards, they won their game last night when another Knick nemesis, Paul Pierce, like LeBron, he knocked in a game-winning shot.
The truth. So,
yep, the truth. And the truth hurts.
Yep.
Trust me. We should ban him from the Garden.
Well, that's why they brought him to the Wizards, you know, to bring that leadership and that veteran presence, you know, amongst the young guys on the team, and you know, showed why he's a clutch when it comes to in the playoffs. You know, he did it with the Celtics. You know, and he didn't do it with the Nets. You know, but he's just showing you, you know, why they call him the truth.
And I heard in another interview he did, like, might have been last month, he said that he's planning on playing next year, and next year is expected to be his last season, and then he's gonna call it a career.
Yeah, well, he's had a good career, you know, very good career. NBA champion, you know, former All Star.
Yeah, he definitely, that big three definitely changed his legacy for real, because before that, you know, the Celtic fans, you know, they ain't like him, you know. You know, the guy was making, you know, putting 20 points, 8 rebounds, but, you know, the team was losing with him, Antoine Walker. But, you know, with the acquisition of Garnett and Ray Allen, and, of course, you know, young Rajon Rondo, you know, they turned the whole culture of the team around, and, you know, the rest is history.
Yeah, so well deserved, and they, you know, the Wizards probably have a chance now to beat the Hawks in this series.
Yeah, I know the powerhouse Hawks. Hawks are usually, entering this year, they're usually the underdog team who toe to toe with Goliath, and then in the game seven, you know, most times than not, you know, they get stomped. You know, like Big Show versus El Torito or something.
Yeah.
But now the Hawks are in a different role. They're the powerhouse team. They're not the underdogs. It's like the Red Sox since 2004 or 2007, you could say. You know, they were the underdog idiots, you know, cowboy up, and after they won the championship, they became the evil empire part two. You know? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
they became the very thing they hate. It was. I think it was kind of remind me of a promo. I think it might have been CM Punk when he was feuding with John Cena, and he said, "You became the very thing you hate. You are the New York. You are the New York Yankees." And I think I think John Cena punched them as a response. I think that was during CM Punk's championship run,
right?
You know, like around 2001 to 2012 or so. I lost count. Basically, you know, that the Hawks, they have the target on their back. You know, they're not the same loosey-goosey team that nobody expects them. They're the little engine that could. I think I can. No, Hawks, you're the second best team in the league. We expect you to whoop people behind now. And I sleep. No one's gonna sleep on the Hawks this year.
Yeah, I mean, the series is still tied, so it's not over yet.
Of course. It's not like obviously, it's not, you know, they didn't get eliminated, but you know, the target's on them. You know,
yeah.
Them and of course the Warriors.
Yeah, and sorry, the series is not tied. Actually, where does that lead the series 2-1?
2-1, right? 2-1, right? Yes, right. That's what I was right. I was thinking that, but you told me, I was like, oh, yeah. I guess you're I forgot. Right, you're all right.
Yeah.
It is 2-0. But what was I gonna say? Speaking of the Warriors, I think that series is tied 2-2, right?
Right now, Grizzlies are leading that series 2-1. So Warriors are down right now. And they've been shut down by the Grizzlies defense.
And, congrats to Stephen Curry. He won the MVP, which is no surprise to anybody. I mean, they won a franchise 67 wins. You know, tip my hat off to, Stephen Curry. A guy that, me and many Knicks fans, unfortunately wanted to get drafted to the Knicks. But unfortunately, the Warriors had the pick just before us.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got stuck with Jordan Hill. And the rest is history.
Yep.
well, we got stuck with Jordan Hill, and then we traded him not too long after that.
Yeah.
So we're technically no longer stuck with Jordan Hill, but.
I don't even know what team he's on. Probably playing in a desert somewhere.
Wasn't he with the Lakers not too long ago, or that's what we traded him to?
Oh, yeah, I think he was, yeah.
I think he might still be with the Lakers or something. Like you said, he might be in the desert. For all we know, he could be in the Suns, for all we know. if that's the case, he would be right.
Yeah, that's true.
We're going to have to research that. They'll find out, where is Jordan Hill? Where in the world is Jordan Hill? we'll find out for you. All right, you go on the search for us, Mac.
I'll look that up.
But switching gears, I'm going to talk to you about an old man, an old man who's 41 years old. He may not be in the desert, but that dude, he found the fountain of youth, and I'm talking about Bartolo Colon. This guy, man, he improved to what, 6-1? I think he pitched 6 innings. He did give up 4 runs, but I mean, he's been pitching well this season.
Yeah, definitely. He's turned back the hands of the hands of time.
Oh, no doubt, man. I mean, this guy, I've always been a fan of that guy, wanted that guy to be on my team ever since his Cleveland days and the Expos. I mean, this guy is a gamer. He's a workhorse, and this guy, it's amazing.
Power pitcher.
He's not even really a power pitcher anymore. He used to be a power pitcher when he was in Cleveland and Expos, part of the worst team, worst trade in, one of the worst trade in franchise history when Omar Minaya traded Cliff Lee, Brandon Phillips, and somebody else for him for the Expos, even though Colon did win 10 games for them. But I think after that, he went to White Sox, I think, at that time. But in any case, Colon has always been a dominant pitcher. And, now he's not a power pitcher anymore, but he still relies on the fastball. But the most important thing is that he's a pitcher. He knows how to locate his fastball. And this guy is still winning games, and I tip my hat to him.
Yeah, still getting the job done. 40 years old.
Yeah, he's gonna turn 42, I think, in 2 months.
Mm.
And thanks to him, Mets was able to win today, in Philadelphia by the final score 7-4. Granderson hit his third home run.
Grandy man.
Yep, the Grandy man can. But, it's good. The Mets, they won this series. They lost the first game with Harvey 3-1, which stunned me. I'm trying to remember. Saturday they won with John Neese on the mound, who dominate the Phillies. He's undefeated in his last 7 starts against the Phillies.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. They won, I think. What was the score? 3-2, I think it was. I think it was 3-2. I could be wrong. And also tonight, I should say earlier today, Cologne, you know, powered the Mets to, you know, the 7-4 win. And Familia, man, this dude is he's perfect so far. This dude is doing his best Mariano Rivera impression, man. I think he's like 12 or 13-0 in save opportunities.
Wow.
But man, yeah, he's been awesome. I mean, he was like the third guy that they picked to be the closer, because Bobby Parnell, who, you know, the Mets, you know, are still in love with, they want him to be a main closer. Then you have Mejia, who was the dominant closer from last year, who was my favorite closer, you know, who I would have made start, but he got hurt, and then he got suspended for taking PEDs, so he's not going to be there for like for at least a few more months, maybe August or something like that. And then Familia, who was a great setup man last year, and he took the reins of the closing role, and there's no way you're going to take that guy off that spot.
But, you know, as far, you know, the Mets haven't played well, you know. Marcell Cologne, like you say, over 40, he's been pitching well. Harvey, well. But you know who the real MVP of the season is?
Well, I mean, the pitching, they've been doing great. I mean, Harvey's been doing well. Okay, who is it?
The real MVP of the season is Alex Torres's hat. That hat looks like what the hats that the Russians wear during winter.
Or Mr. Gazoo from Flintstones.
Yeah. That is, I've never seen us have a hat like that before.
Yeah, he was the first guy to wear it because, you know, he's wearing it for precautionary reasons, you know. So if a ball gets hit, you know, with the extra padding, it's not going to, you know, affect him or kill him, you know, on the mound if he gets a comebacker.
Right.
So, yeah, it's not the coolest looking hat, but, you know, God forbid if, you know, a ball gets hit right back up, he has a better chance of surviving, you know.
Right, right.
But, yeah, I mean, it's definitely not the coolest hat, you know.
Yeah,
I don't think anybody's going to go in the store and be like, yo, I got to get that Alex Torres hat right there. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, the pitching has been well. You know, the bullpen, the starting pitching, and, you know, after the Mets swept the Orioles, you know, you're welcome, Yankee fan, Mac. You know, the Mets are going to Chicago, you know, after winning Title 3 against the Phillies. They're going to Chicago, and Tuesday night, Noah Syndergaard, the Mets' top pitching prospect that Mets have been waiting to debut ever since last year, but he didn't have a great AAA performance last year. But these last three starts, he's been pitching well, and he earned a spot. Steven Matz, he's been pitching well in AAA, so that's another guy who's going to come up in the near future, I would assume. And Syndergaard takes Dylan G's spot on the mound because Dylan G is on the DL, and Syndergaard will make his first major league start against the Cubs in Wrigley Field. So that's another game to circle on your calendar, folks.
Yeah.
See what it's all about, because, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, they come into the league, you know, for the Mets, they pitch well. Matt Harvey, he set the tone, you know, of the recent Mets. You had him, Zach Wheeler, DeGrom. I mean, this is the future. The future of the Mets is now. So NL East, NL League, MLB, watch out, man. The Mets are coming. And the Mets are coming for the World Series. Believe that.
Well, they're certainly playing well, but let's not get ahead of ourselves.
I'm not talking about right now. I'm not talking about this year. I hope it's going to happen. But I'm saying in the next 5 years, 3 to 5 years, Mets will be hoisting up and the World Series for the third time in history. I'm telling you that right now. And I said that years ago when the Phillies had Cliff Lee, they had Roy Halladay that year. They had Roy Halladay and Roy Oswalt. I said, you know, the Phillies are the best team right now. But in like 3 to 5 years, Mets, the young guys, especially the pitching, they're gonna come up. And by the time the Mets are good, it's going to be when the Phillies is washed up. And we're seeing it right now in 2015, ladies and gentlemen. And hopefully this will be the end of the Phillies.
Well, the Phillies have been dried out for the last 3 years, I would say. So, but yeah, I mean, Mets are definitely playing well, you know. They're making a case that they're one of the top teams in baseball right now.
Yeah, but like you said, there's a long way to go. Their offense is very erratic. You can't count on them. Sometimes they score. Sometimes, you know, they've been shot out, especially evidence against the Nationals, who's also hot. Bryce Harper, I mean, he's been hitting like 6 home runs in like the past couple of games. I mean, including a game winner and 3 home run one day, like earlier this week. I mean, the Nationals are not going away anytime soon.
Yeah, for real.
But yeah, let's switch gears to your Yankees. They won 3 out of 4. What's your thoughts about that?
Yeah, it was a good game. Good pitching. Pineda had a great game. He had 16 strikeouts today, which 16 strikeouts, no walks, matching Johan Santana's performance 2007. So he's been dominant all year. Got his 5th win. Doesn't have a loss yet. So he's been dominant. I mean, when Tanaka comes back, those are going to be a deadly duo, both of those guys pitching. But, you know, pitching has been great all year for the Yankees, pretty much. Bullpen has been superb. Warren, he already has like 12 saves, I think, as a closer. Yankee offense, you know, they're not hitting as many home runs as they did back in 2009, but, you know, they're getting clutch hits when it matters. And they got that 20th win today, and they stayed top the AL East. And, you know, hopefully they can continue this all season. You know, pitching has been superb. So hopefully right now Pineda's looking like our number one starter. So hopefully he continues to pitch like this.
Hey, man, you're right about that. It's going to be interesting how both teams are going to be when they face each other in August. You know, will they both be in the hunt? And right now I'd say yes. But
yeah.
We'll see what happens, man.
Definitely.
And, talking about instead of two teams that might, who knows, if everything break right, face each other in the World Series. Let's talk about two men who faced each other recently, and I'm talking about Floyd Mayweather and Pacquiao. Of course, you know, Mayweather originally said that he would fight Mayweather for a rematch, but now he's you know, saying that, you know, Pacquiao's a crybaby. Well, to paraphrase what he's saying, you know, that, you know, he used, you know, his injury, his shoulder injury, which he had a surgery recently on, as an excuse for him, for, you know, him losing to, you know, to Mayweather, and now he doesn't want a rematch. But, you know, I assume it's going to happen, you know, because they're going to make a lot of money if that rematch happens again. But it's very possible he might not face him because, you know, he already beat him. You know, he doesn't really have anything to prove. And maybe he's scared that Pacquiao, if healthy, you know, might beat him. Who knows? I mean,
yeah, thoughts? You know, if Mayweather is going to have another fight before he retires, it has to be part two to Pacquiao. I mean, that's the only fight that's going to make him the most money right now, to be honest with you. You know?
Exactly.
Whoever he fights next is not going to have a payday that this fight had. So
exactly.
It has to be another Pacquiao fight. You know, I don't know if it's going to happen, but, you know, it's possible. You never know. Never say never. Yeah.
Exactly. And lastly, WWE, you know, Payback, the pay-per-view is set. The main event is going to be all 3 former members of The Shield. You got Seth Rollins defending the title against Dean Ambrose, who recently got added to the mix. You have Roman Reigns, and of course you have the Viper, Randy Orton. And all these guys are going to be fighting for the biggest prize in professional wrestling.
Yep.
What's your thoughts?
Yeah, that's going to be a good match. All 3 Shield members.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait for that.
I heard the rumor is that they were going to save something like that, all 3 members of S.H.I.E.L.D. facing each other at WrestleMania. But I guess they're teasing us, you know, with the inclusion of Randy Orton. It's not officially all 3 members are facing each other, but only the 3 of them. And the rumors is that they think Roman Reigns and Ambrose are going to turn heel and join forces and reform the Shield as a heel again. But to me, that makes no sense because...
That makes no sense.
It makes no sense because these guys, their feud... Everybody's feud with Rollins is hot. You know, you got Ambrose and Reigns who still have unfinished business with Rollins. And, of course, Randy Orton has beef with him. I mean, there's no reason to kill that momentum. That it would be dumb.
Yeah. He can't bring back – he can't make Ambrose a heel again or even Reigns a heel again.
Is that, it makes no sense.
Yeah. So,
everybody wants to beat up on Roman Reigns and the I mean not Roman Reigns, Rollins. It's making them a lot of money. It would be dumb for them to turn him for the two guys who have the most reason to to get revenge on him are going to help him and turn face. That'd be stupid.
Exactly.
The only way for them to turn back, reform the Shield, it would be is if the Authority screws Rollins in the future, maybe at SummerSlam or, that would be an anniversary when I think about it. Because didn't they break up the night after SummerSlam last year?
Yeah, I think you're right.
So it'd be a little symmetry right there, if the Authority turns on him, and then he sees the errors of his ways, and then he reforms the Shield. With of course Ambrose and Rollins with Reigns, then that would make sense.
Yeah.
But to turn them heel, to turn Ambrose and Reigns heel, and those are two of his biggest rivals, and makes the most sense. People would pay to see them take the title off from Rollins' hands. It makes no sense.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And hopefully not. WWE, they're releasing a DVD on Owen Hart, and apparently Martha Hart, she's against it. At first, there was reports saying that she was for it, but she put out a statement and said she's against it. What's your thoughts?
Well, I would love that. I would love the DVD. I'd love to see it. I've been an Owen Hart fan for the longest. I thought he was one of the great wrestlers in wrestling history, but. I mean, I don't know why she wouldn't want something like that. I think it would be a great tribute to his career.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, she says she'll never change her mind about canceling WWE according to the statement. But, hopefully, maybe she will. I mean, I know it's tough.
Legend every Sunday.
Thank you all for listening to another episode.